Welcome to Top of the Game with Javier Sade, where we talk to amazing people that are shaping the world. These lightning round talks explore what makes remarkable leaders tick. Thinkers and doers, pushing humankind forward and at the top of their game. Impactful insights, global perspectives, valuable wisdom you can use every day in your life and work. This is Top of the Game. Enjoy today's episode. Here's Javier.
Fred Rivera is as accomplished as he is a terrific human being and has had a remarkable career. He is one of the highest ranking and few Latinos in the business of American professional sports. He currently serves as executive vice president and general counsel for the Seattle Mariners. Loves the game, started pitching as a young kid, great curveball, played in college, and deeply knows the economics of sport and the positive impact on communities across America. His Mariners role was preceded by another one. Fred served as managing partner of Perkin Coie's Seattle office, one of the largest and most prestigious law firms in the United States, where he spent about two decades. He started his career in the 90s as a trial attorney at the Department of Justice. In the early 2000s, he served as a vice president of internal investigations at Fannie Mae. He serves on the board of directors of Heritage Bank, Delta Dental of Washington, and OAC Services. He has been recognized in the U.S. News Best Lawyers in America and as a Director of the Year by the Puget Sound Business Journal. Fred also serves or has served as president of the Latino Bar Association of Washington, the regional president of the Hispanic National Bar Association, Rainier Scholars, trustee of the King County Bar Association, board of directors of the Downtown Seattle Association, Arts Fund, and the United Way of King County, where he was chairman. Enjoy this incredible conversation. Fred, how are you doing?
Javier, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me on your show.
It's a pleasure to have you, no doubt. And what a remarkable trajectory. What a cool job you have now. But before we get into the meat of what makes you a person that's at the top of the game, I want to start where I start all these shows, which is our origins.
Thank you. I'll start at the beginning, and that's where I was born. I was born in Los Angeles, specifically in Santa Monica, a second-generation Mexican-American. My parents were 18 when I was born. My mom had to drop out of high school when I was born, and hardworking supplied me with a great upbringing, but also had some challenges that I think made me resilient and stronger and really helped set the foundation of who I am today. We moved frequently in my early years. I probably attended four or five schools before settling down in fifth grade in a suburb of Los Angeles called Canyon Country. It's now known as the Santa Clarita Valley, and was there through high school. Although I don't share this with my kids, I actually was a poor student. I struggled in school. And the one thing, frankly, that was constant and motivated me to stay in school was baseball. I played baseball since I can remember. I was able to play in high school as well and eventually on to college. And I think, you know, in addition to having that game as a constant and a driving, motivating force to stay in school and do the best I can, I certainly had folks in my life who motivated me and supported me during some of those challenging times. As I said, my parents were hardworking and did the best they could, and I'm grateful for them. I was very close to my grandparents, mm-hmm. And in particular, my maternal grandmother and I were very close. She drove me. She had high expectations of mm-hmm. me from the very beginning. She was a huge baseball fan. She loved baseball. She loved the Dodgers. She hated the San Francisco Giants. And you know the Dodger-Giant rival. She was passionate about hating the Giants just as much as she loved the Dodgers. And she was really instrumental in my life. And my grandfather, who, you know, on hindsight was an entrepreneur. He was a gardener. And he had his own route of houses in Pacific Palisades and Beverly Hills. And I used to go mow lawns with him. Those were some of the greatest experiences of my early childhood. And, you know, they were all influential in my life.
An amazing story and not atypical. I also was very close to my maternal grandma. I think that's, I guess, stereotypical or typical of Hispanics, where maternal culture multi-generational. It's interesting you mentioned this moving around, because now people view you in Seattle, which is my new home, as kind of an anchor of the community. You're the general counsel and EVP of the Mariners. Talk about an anchor tenant in the city. You also ran like a massive law firm for years here. And I want you to give me a little bit of your career that led you to this really amazing, cool job you have now.
It was a squiggly path. It was not a straight line. After high school, I went to a junior college, because it's the only college I could get into, and B, it's because I wanted to play baseball. And so I went to Santa Monica College, had a great experience, and something clicked while I was there. I matured. I'm not sure what it is on hindsight, but I turned my attention and maybe my competitive spirit from baseball to school. And I did quite well my second year at Santa Monica and moved on to Cal State Northridge and did well there as well. And I wasn't done going to school. I felt like I had found my pace. I had found what appealed to me and how to excel in school. I looked for the next opportunity in education, and I chose law school. I was part of what was known at the time. This is the late 80s. I was known as the LA Law generation, and LA Law was a popular TV show. And they had.
Oh my God, I remember that show, LA Law. That was like a groundbreaking show.
It was, for a number of reasons, including that one of its stars was a guy named Victor Cifuentes, who was played by Jimmy Smits. And you know, I didn't grow up with lawyers, and I didn't know what an attorney did, but Victor Cifuentes dressed nice. He went to a beautiful office, and I thought that's kind of interesting. And so I ended up applying for law school for that and for other reasons as well. Went to Gonzaga and ended up at the Justice Department in the Civil Rights Division in the Clinton administration, and worked for Janet Reno, one of the best leaders I've ever had the privilege of working for. Mm-hmm. I was in the section doing housing and civil enforcement for fair housing discrimination and lending. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to move back after 6 years in D.C. to the West Coast and landed in Seattle, largely because of the firm I joined, which was Perkins Coie, based in Seattle, largest firm here. And I really found my community here. And that was in 1998. But for 2 years going back to DC working at Fannie Mae, I really have found my community, both professionally, personally, within the Latino community, which welcomed me. And now I'm very proud of the friends that I have made through those various communities.
So you seem to like Washington's. But I guess you ended up in you know, they say the West Coast is the best coast, and you ended up in the better Washington. But let's leave that aside. We can talk about how dysfunctional that place is now. You probably worked there in an era of bipartisanship, people making deals. There's still all kinds of problems in housing in the United States. So I can take this so many places. And Perkins Coie is a significant law firm nationally, obviously. But then you somehow went, you know, I'm tired of just being like a lawyer or running a law firm. I kind of want to be the main lawyer in a thing. And you ended up in like the coolest thing ever, like in a baseball team. Describe the job a little bit. I know you do more than just all the legal things in the team. Just describe the team, you know, what you do with the team, and the business of sports is really what I want to get into, which is, I'm sure, mostly of what you're focused on. So to you.
I wasn't looking to leave Perkins Coie. I was very happy there. I was the managing partner of the Seattle office, the largest office of the firm and the founding office. And I left purely as a passion play. It may sound over dramatic, but baseball has been a stabilizing and consistent sport force in my life. And to have the opportunity to work for a Major League Baseball team was something I simply could not pass up. The opportunity, the specific tasks within the job as described to me and turned out to be true were extremely exciting. It was not only being the lawyer for the team, but also taking a look at its community relation department and its 501c3 organization called Mariners Care and reimagining that so it could increase its impact within the Pacific Northwest. We had a lease deal that we had to renegotiate with our public landlord, and that was the first task I was involved in. And we were successful in negotiating a 25-year lease for what is now called T-Mobile Park. And the T-Mobile deal was something else I was able to negotiate. So the whole slate of duties that I came into were very exciting, and allowed me to mix both my legal experience and background, as well as my community involvement and the passion I have for serving our community. And it's just been really a tremendous 7 years now working for the team.
It's easy to connect the dots looking back, right? Like, well, of course you're doing this for an MLB. If you look at your trajectory, even though it's squiggly line, it's almost like this led you to this incredible opportunity. And where I want to kind of, as you know, the shows are pretty short. I've had a couple of Olympic gold medalists in the show. I had Javier Gutierrez, who, like you, is one of the very few Hispanics in a major sports league in a very significant leadership position. Really about the significance of sports in community and this, how media has changed, and it's really one of the only things that people still watch live. Just kind of very open-ended question around the importance of sports to the country and then to the communities in which they reside.
I love that question, and I will be as quick as I can. I could talk for a day on this. Sports and community and individuals and families all starts with a common denominator, and that is emotional connection. That emotional connection drives viewership on media. It drives attendance in the stadiums. It drives buying a shirt, a jersey, of a fan. And emotional connection happens at a very early age, and it doesn't have to be a significant event. For me, it was going to taking the bus, the Dodger bus, to go see games with my grandmother. Mm-hmm. For others, it's an amazing experience with between mom and daughter, or whatever it may be, going with a youth group. And it's that creating that emotional connection very early on that creates lifelong fans. And every fan will be different. Some will go to, in the case of baseball, 81 games a year, and some will go to one game every other year. But that emotional connection then drives the specialness within the community. There's nowhere else in the Pacific Northwest, and you could go around the country and say, where you're going to have 40 to 50,000 people in a stadium sitting next to each other, shoulder to shoulder, and watching an event. And you don't know if the person sitting next to you works at Boeing, is a doctor, is a lawyer, a teacher. You don't know what they do, but there's that shared experience and that shared community that's so important, in our country. And that we are, frankly, vitally missing in so many aspects of how our country operates, that's very unique to sport. So emotional connection is the starting point. It then drives revenue. It drives community. It drives spirit. Like I said, I'm going to stop. I could go on forever on that because I'm passionate about how sports teams contribute and how they are built to succeed.
Yeah, I'm glad I don't have you're not a winding toy, because like you said, you would have gone forever on this. I know you're very passionate about it, and you alluded to it, but technology has changed our life so significantly over the last 50 years, let alone what's coming in the next 50. But there are some things that cannot be replaced, and that is exactly what you described. Not only the live events, which you cannot automate that. You can make it better with technology, you can automate it, but community, empathy, connectedness, those are quintessentially human things. And the world is lucky to have somebody like you that through happenstance ended up in a job that is just in a situation that's perfect. So I appreciate you being a guest, Fred. Keep doing what you're doing. The world is lucky to have you.
Thank you, Javier. I appreciate it.
We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. For information and links about today's guests, check out the show notes and visit topofthegame-thepod.com. Your host, Javier Sade, the show Top of the Game. Thanks for listening.